amazing prediction. And we see in that prediction of what did come true. Jesus was arrested. He was deserted by his friends. He was mocked. He was tortured physically, emotionally, spiritually tortured like we will never understand as he became sin for the entire world. He was beaten. He was spat on. He was whipped. And ultimately, he was crucified on a cross. This was the Son of God, the one who had all power and all glory. He could have called on a million angels to come and save him. Why would God allow his Son to go through all this and allow people to crush him? It's because he loved you. It's because he loves me. That's why. He allowed it because he loves us and he wants us to be forgiven. Now, Isaiah captures amazing this prediction 800 years before of what would happen to Jesus on the cross. Just another quick glance at a couple of parts of it. Verse 5, it says, he was pierced for our rebellion. And we imagine those nails being driven through Jesus' hands and through Jesus' feet. Verse 5 also says, he was whipped so we could be healed. And we read in the gospel story that Jesus was taken and whipped within an inch of his life, tore shreds off him. Verse 6, Isaiah predicted, the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And that's what happened on the cross. All of our sins were laid on Jesus. Verse 7, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Luke mentioned last week with Palm Sunday as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem and everyone's cheering and clapping and thinking this is going to be the rescue of the town and the rescue of Israel. In fact, Jesus was coming as the Passover lamb, the Passover sacrifice lamb, so that Jesus would be killed so that we wouldn't have to die eternally. And so he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8 said he was unjustly condemned. Jesus had done nothing wrong. We had done wrong. And verse 9 again, it says he had done no wrong. So it's quite an amazing passage that captures the suffering of Jesus. And so this word that I've been thinking about this week, rest, it kind of seems like a bit of a strange one, doesn't it, when we think about Good Friday and we think about the suffering of Jesus. We can have the next slide, please. You see, the thing is, it wasn't rest for Jesus at all. There was no way it was rest for Jesus. It was torture. Torture he didn't deserve. Torture he could have got out of. It was horrible for Jesus. But the result of that, the result of Jesus' sacrifice, the result of his suffering is rest for my soul. Most of you know, if you're tuning in, you don't know me. I was a Woolies manager before I was a pastor. I worked 17 years for Woolies. And I did lots of interviews at Woolies. And as a bit of a side note, there's lots of people that are struggling with work at the moment, and our hearts and our prayers are with you particularly. But looking back, I did a lot of interviews when I was a Woolies manager. And people would come in and they'd give their resumes, and I'd go through their resumes and look at some of the things that they put on there and things that they had done and what they'd achieved. And it kind of gave you a bit of a picture of who the person was. But you want to know what the best way to hire staff was? It was through referral. I knew that if I had a hardworking parent in the store, if I had staff in there and they had children and said they needed a job, 95 or almost 100% of the time, their kid would have the same work ethic that the parents. And so sometimes those pieces of paper, the resume can look good, but you don't really know the character of the person. But a referral meant you didn't have a sense of who the person was. Now, you might know this if you go down to Swansea Woolies and you see a few friends and family down there that have been gotten jobs by referral. If you go and see Marley at Super Cheap Auto, and you can see some of the people that she's hired as well over there by referral. Is that right, Marley? You know, all around me, I see people trying to get their resume in order so that somehow God or gods or someone will accept them, that they've done enough, that they've got enough on their resume, that they'll be loved, they'll be forgiven, that they'll know who they am in life, that they'll know that when they die, they go to heaven. There's all these people, other religions with a whole lot of strange rituals and things and idols they're doing. But even in Christianity, people trying tirelessly to somehow fill up their resume that they'll be good enough for God. And some of our resumes are a bit thin and we pad it out a little bit. Yeah, I went to church at Easter and Christmas and, I gave some money to charity. Some of your resumes, you might think, my resume looks pretty good. You know, I fed the homeless every morning on the way to work. I was a pastor. I mean, look at my resume. The sad thing is, it's tireless trying to fill out your resume, and it's never going to actually work. You're never going to come up with a resume that satisfies a perfect holy God when God goes, wow, look at Matt Brown. He's been a pastor. He's great. Come in, Matt. Be part of the family. It's just never going to be enough. And people all around the world are tirelessly trying to find out who they are, to work out who they are, to do things so that they can have some sense of acceptance by a God or gods. When it doesn't work on a resume, it works on a referral. We have the next slide, Sam. You see, the problem is, because of our brokenness, because of our sin, we are separated from God. No resume, no list of pieces of stuff I've done is going to be good enough for God to accept you. God's holy and perfect, and where there's holiness and perfectness in heaven, it means there's no sin, it means there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no suffering. But people are separated from God. We've got a problem. And you can't just go fill out your resume and say, here's the stuff I've done. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm not even going to try to hand in a resume, even if I thought it would be good enough, which it's not. I'm not even going to bother handing it in. All I'm going to do is look over to Jesus and say, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm with you. It's going to be a referral system for me. Now the next slide, Sam. You see, Jesus has done what nobody else can do, what you can't do, what I can't do, what no religious practice can do. Jesus died in our place. He paid the price. He was the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus died, he died the death for all people, paid the punishment for all people. He suffered as the Son of God so that you and I could be forgiven. So stop tirelessly trying to work out what life is about. Find rest for your soul. Rest because I'm not striving to see if I'm good enough. Rest because I know I'm not good enough, but Jesus is good enough, so God accepts me. Rest that says, I know I'm a child of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. Not trying to fill out some resume. I know because Jesus died for me, I know I'm a child of God. I know God is with me and for me every day, no matter what happens. I can get up in the morning and say, oh, there's some hard stuff today, but God, I know you're with me because Jesus died for me. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. He's with me. And when I die, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we see the pain and the suffering of Jesus on Good Friday, and we should never forget that. It's the amazing grace of God. I've always loved that acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We get God's goodness and love because Jesus died for us. Grace. We don't in any way glance over the suffering today. We remember with gratefulness and thankfulness what Jesus has done. We don't just say, oh, well, that's just nothing. That was everything for Jesus. It cost him everything. And yet the result of Jesus' suffering is that we get rest for our souls. We get rest because we know who we are in Christ. We get rest because we know where we're going in the next life. We get rest because we know every day God's for us. We're not trying to wonder. We get to rest in the knowledge God has a plan and a purpose for us because Jesus died for us. So today, feel the weight and the pain of Jesus' suffering. At times, we should, and I do get very emotional. Well, you know that last slide. At times, I do get very emotional when I think about what Jesus has done for me. As we sang before, it was my sin that held him on that cross. When they drove those nails through his hands, those nails through his feet, it was for the whole world, yes, but it was for me. It was my sin that drove those nails through his hands. But in Jesus' sacrifice, I find rest. Psalm 62:1, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. So I get rest because my salvation comes from God. So I wonder about you. What does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to you? It means so many more things to me that we could talk about all day. But for today, the thing I'm just thinking about is the cross means rest for my soul. It wasn't rest for Jesus. And if you're here today wondering what life's about and you're thinking, I've been searching for answers and wondering who I am, today, if you accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you can have rest for your soul. If you reach out to God today and give thanks for his love when Jesus died for you and ask Jesus to forgive you, he will accept you. You will become part of God's family. You can find rest for your soul and know that you're with God now and you're going to heaven one day and God is always with you. By reaching out to God today and asking for his forgiveness. Jesus paid the price for you. You don't have to wander around life trying to fill out your resume and wondering what life's about. You can find rest today by accepting Jesus and know you're a child of God. I'm going to pray for us. And then what we're going to do is, just for 5 minutes, I'm just going to split you into smaller groups. If you're visiting today and you don't want to be part of those groups, just switch your camera off for this 5 minutes. Please don't go. We're going to have communion together to finish the service. But please don't go. And if you don't want to be part of that group, just switch your camera off. That's okay. And just listen to what others are saying. But I want you to answer this question just for 5 minutes, maybe even with just one word. What does the cross mean to you? The word that I thought about this week is rest. Rest for my soul because Jesus has paid the price. What about you? What does the cross mean for you? So we're going to put them in groups for a moment, just for 5 minutes, and have a little bit of a chat together. What does the cross mean to you?
Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. I wonder what that actually means to you. What does that mean to you when you hear those words? What do you feel? I guess we looked at Isaiah 53 today, and I just really want to just bring up a couple of verses just from that bit of scripture real quick. So I've got a fly just here. Bussy, it's just one fly in the whole building. So just a couple of words. And what sort of feelings, I guess, do you go through when you hear these words? Pierced for our rebellion, whipped that we could be healed, crushed for our sins, beaten so we could be made whole, struck down for rebellion of my people. What do you feel when you hear those words in Isaiah 53? What sort of feelings do you get? Does your heart start racing a bit more? You start reflecting on yourself. What happens when you hear those words? We also see there, which Matt brought up this morning, and also what we heard last week, that Jesus was like that lamb brought to the slaughter. That lamb of sacrifice for our sins. I loved it, that sort of idea that that Matt just shared to us, that it's not about our resume, is it? It's about what Jesus did, not about us. It's all about Jesus. So I'm just going to read a couple of words here that we see in 1 Corinthians 11. If you'd like to read them along with me, it's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. I'll give you a few moments to look that up on your phones or your Bibles if you've got them there. But in this part of Corinthians, Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, just with a fair few issues, and there was a couple of issues going around the Lord's Supper about how they'll partake. And as you continue to find that verse is there, we're just looking in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And we see that that the Corinthian church is really struggling and actually not examining themselves and a couple other things when it came to the Lord's Supper. So if you'd like to read with me from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I have also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." But when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. This is a time as a church that we love to celebrate together. And we love to celebrate together and just to reflect on what actually happened on this day. What happened on this day of the crucifixion. Why Jesus did it for us. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to grab some bread and some juice. And together we're going to take this Lord's Supper together, as Jesus asks us to. But we also see in this, in verse 28, that a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. So I'm going to ask you just the question today of what Matt asked at the start of the service, of what does the cross mean to you? When you examine yourself, what does it mean to you? So in a moment, we're going to break the bread together, and I'll let you eat that in your own time. But we're going to drink together. So just while you reflect on what does the cross mean to you, I'll just give you about 2 minutes, and then we'll drink together if that's okay. This is the cup. This is my blood poured out for you. Let's drink this together in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Heavenly Father, we just give you so much thanks. We just pray as we continue into this Easter long weekend that you just help us reflect and examine ourselves over this time. That we'll actually really ask that question, what does the cross mean for me? Maybe there's a commitment we still haven't made. Maybe there's, I love that idea of wholeness, which I just shared in my group, that word of wholeness and restoration. But what does the cross mean for you? A few of you may be sitting there saying, I've never made a commitment. I really understood what the cross means for me. And I just pray that over this weekend, you'll have a conversation with one of the pastors or leaders of this church, or one of your friends or family, someone you trust, and have that conversation with them of who you are. Lord, I just pray that as a church, that over this weekend, Lord, as the church of Swansea Cays Beach, all our churches, Lord, even the ones down the road, that this will be a time where we will reflect and think of the glory of God. That will bring glory to him, even in this crisis we're going through, but we'll just have that focus on the cross this Easter. And we get excitement as Easter Sunday comes along. I give thanks, and I just pray that you just all have a great week as well. We pray for this in your amazing name. Amen.
Amen.